Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how come you're so different? Don't you feel that way? At least from a lot of other people, anyway. Because they're different from you. And I'm different from you. How come I'm so different? We're all different. Oh my gosh. It's hard to live in a world where we're all so different. And yet we try to fit in, we try to understand ourselves, try to get along with others. And yet there are ways that we just aren't the same. And that's because we're all living our own human design. And we're going to talk about human design today. It's actually a system that I am an analyst for and a teacher of. And I really love it. And it changes lives once you know why you're different. And once you know the language of who you are and how you are, then you can strategize with that language of yourself to be a better person, a happier person, and be more honest with yourself and with others. So many benefits to know your own design. And to help us understand why we're all so different is a very different guy. I met him years ago. He was a student in my classes. And I originally showed him the human design system, and he went on, he embraced it heartfully and went on to become a real expert at human design. And I'm really proud of him because he really knows the language of human design. And so I've asked him to be a guest and talk with us, with me, about why we're all so different. And he's actually now an intuitive life coach who uses human design. And I want to introduce Mark Germain. Mark, welcome.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be here with you.
Well, I'm so glad that you could join us. And it really helped you, didn't it?
Oh, I think it was one of the biggest things in my life, encountering this information and understanding what it meant, because it really made sense in my life and actually allowed me to reconcile my experiences growing and not understanding why things happened the way they did. And this put an answer to the question. And it really allowed me to be at peace with my past and who I am.
Yes, and I think that's one of the biggest things is, and I'm smiling in a way that I can't help it right now because there's an irony to this that's really hysterical. And that's that the truth about us is amazing to know and so helpful. It's not necessarily easy.
No, it's not easy. That's for sure. I think it is a process. So I think we all, you know, need to remember that as we're going on along our path in life, that, you know, it is a process and we need to be kind to ourselves in it.
Right. And forgive ourselves, because once we know our design, we know the things, the language of what we need to forgive ourselves about. And it shows where our weaknesses are and where our great strengths are. And that's the big thing, is that it really is an opportunity to believe in yourself fully for what you're here for.
Yeah, and I'd also add, you also find out what not to forgive, because some things are just the way they are, you know, and that's a beautiful thing, too.
You got to forgive that, too. And just because they're the way they are.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Right.
You know? And that's a beautiful truth, too, because I think a lot of people wonder why things are the way they are, and if they understood that there really is no choice in that, it's something that's a byproduct of your design. Then you can have, there's a sense of relief and a reliability also. And
right.
Then you don't have to necessarily apologize for who you are, because that's the way you're wired.
Right. And I've done quite a number of chart readings for people who have difficult charts. And they come in and I think to myself, now I have to explain to this person why their lives are so difficult. And they come in, they're so overjoyed with knowing this. Because they already know their lives are difficult. I'm not telling them anything new, but this explains why, how to deal with it, what it means, and how to do a better job in life with it.
Yeah, and then it gives you the opportunity, and I think the keys to some freedom, because, you know, a lot of what your problems are can also be your gifts.
Right.
So it's
right.
about converting it to the problem to a gift.
Yeah, finding the silver lining of every
yeah.
problem. And that's
yep.
beautiful. And I have to do that with myself all the time because whatever my troubles are also where my wisdom lies.
Exactly.
Yes. And so what we want to talk about, what we want to emphasize today is the what I call the chakra template of the system, also known as the body graph. And in this system, for those who don't know human design, it's based on birth data, where the planets are, and it uses the Chinese I Ching to interpret ourselves instead of astrology. And it also uses the chakras and the different hexagrams of the Chinese I Ching fit into the chakras in a way that define us individually. It's uniquely our own template, body graph, and so it speaks in ways that you and I know how to interpret to help people understand themselves. So let's go over these chakras and help people understand how they can demonstrate to us what our strengths and weaknesses are.
Sure.
Okay, let's start with the what's known as the Ajna. It's the third eye, the sixth chakra. It's in the head. And I always call this the mind chakra in human design because it explains how we think or we don't think or how we think. You know, the ways that we think is probably the best way to put
yeah,
it.
Yeah, how we conceptualize.
Right. Well, that's also the crown chakra has a lot to do with conceptualization. Sixth chakra is really the thinking process, and it does have to do with how we conceive our thoughts, because there are three different circuits in it. There's the logic circuit, and then there's an understanding circuit, and then there's a knowing circuit. And so many of us can think in all those different ways, or in one of them, or we just don't know, because it might not show up in any defined way. So let's just say that this mind has no definition to it, and that's the way it shows up in somebody's chart, that mind is kind of blank.
Yeah, if you're looking at the graph, it's not colored in for those people who look at charts.
Right, and by the way, people can go to, at least to my website, heartriver.org, and you can ask... or you can email me, peter@heartriver.org, and I can send you a free chart. And then you can look at your chart and understand what we're talking about. I need your birth data to do that, date, time, and place. Okay, Mark?
Yes.
So what is it that this mind shows us, or not, according to its definition?
Well, if it's defined or undefined.
Well, if it's undefined, meaning that it's blank.
Well, any center that's open, you know, there's an inconsistency to it, you know. So there's, you know, or I could say if there's just for a point of reference, anything defined gives you consistency. It's who you are, and where you're open is actually where you meet life. It's like where the definition is the student, and the openness is the lesson, the school. And so when it's open, you know, it's not necessarily, again, consistent. So you can interpret things in many different ways. And what happens, though, is that often, like with an open ajna, people get stuck and they try to make themselves certain of things. So that's, it's a conundrum. It's like they even though they're designed not to be certain, sometimes they're the most certain people that you can meet.
Because they need to be. And
yeah.
And I have an undefined ajna, mind, and I always tell people when a center is undefined, there's a little eraser in it that keeps on erasing the definitions that you create. It doesn't get rid of your memory, even though recollection of certain things, it's not recollection of data so much as understanding, or
yeah.
not even that so much, but it's ways that I forget things in a way that created definition about them, and I have to redefine them. So what I always tell people who have an open mind like that is that that's what it is. It's
yeah.
an open mind,
yeah.
and it's we're reinventing our minds all the time.
Yeah, you get to, you know, as a person like that, you have a way of sampling life in a multitude of ways where it's not fixed.
Right, we think outside of the box.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to interpret things. It doesn't have to be one way. When you're defined like I have a defined ajna, you know, I think a specific kind of way, whatever that way is in its complexity, it's just there is a certain definition to it. There's a consistency to it.
And you're seeking form.
Yeah.
You want to have those rows and columns because they helps you make sense. Whereas someone like me with an undefined ajna, I'm always putting holes in the boxes, and I don't respect the rows and columns. I always think that they need to be recreated.
Yeah, so you know, Einstein had an open ajna, and also if you have an open ajna, you have an open head. But he, you know, he did. So he was interpreting his dreams in a way that allowed him flexibility. You know,
right. By head, you mean the crown chakra. So that's above
crown,
this.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So if you have both open, and I do in my chart, it really opens us to a higher consciousness, which is why, for one reason, I'm operating in life as an intuitive. And many people can be intuitive with that. There are other ways in human design that shows where intuition comes from, too.
Certainly. I'm very intuitive, but I have both of those centers defined.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the mind. Now, the throat is something that can be either colored in or blank. And if it's blank, what does that mean to you, Mark?
Well, you know, the conundrum there is, you know, it's a center of manifestation and speaking communication. So a lot of people who have it open often try to seek attention, or they're trying to get attention, and they're not necessarily heard. So that's an issue a lot of times with people. But the truth of that center being open is that they actually are here to be seen. So there's nothing really to do. But this is often, you know, a center where people will speak almost ad nauseum to try to get attention and get their point across, and to their detriment, you know, often,
and the detriment
of others.
And yet, because it's undefined, they're not confident in how they present themselves.
Yeah.
And they're good at response, but they're not good at initiating communication.
Yeah. Technically, you could say anyone with an open throat really needs to be invited to speak and be recognized and invited. That way, they're not wasting their energy trying to be recognized in the incorrect way and just wait and be patient, because they are designed to be seen and heard. It's just by the right people. So why waste time with people that are not right and then feel the frustration of not being heard?
That's a good point. Now, I have a very defined throat, and I'm known as a verbal gunslinger.
Yeah, you and me both. We both have a lot of gates and connections there.
Right. So we're very connected in our throats, and that's why I'm willing to be a spontaneous radio host.
Exactly.
Right. So that's the throat. Now, let's come down to a very important chakra, the heart chakra. And now there are two centers to this. In human design, one of them is known as the G center, and that's our identity. And the other is known as the heart center, even though it's only one of two aspects of our heart chakra. And that's the ego, and that's our willpower. So let's talk about the G center, the identity part of the heart chakra. And that's a diamond in the middle of the chakra template, and when it's defined, when it's colored in, what does that say for people?
Well, they have a sense of more consistent sense of self and direction, not necessarily all the time that they know what direction it is or who they are, but it's a little more consistent. They have an idea. I think the people who have it open, you know, the conundrum is, you know, they're always looking for it, trying to make sense of themselves And really, it's about letting go. So it's not about initiating, trying to figure out who you are. People in your life and life will show who you are, you know. And I think that's the difference. You know,
but
when
another,
you're undefined, you don't have to do that.
Another problem with undefined chakras is that they can be conditioned more easily. So children, for instance, who have an undefined heart, undefined G center, that's where their identities are vulnerable.
Yes.
And so, when an undefined G-center has parents who really put them down, don't recognize them, don't respect them, then they're conditioned in that way. It's very hard to change that. And that's where a lot of trouble comes in. So when I do chart readings for parents of their children who have undefined G-centers, undefined identities, I always tell them how important it is that they reinforce their child's identity. You know, I have an undefined G-center. My identity is unknown to me. Of course, everybody knows who I am, and I'm very clearly Peter Roth, and I know that's true, and yet I don't know what it means.
Well, you know, to anyone with an open G can be projected on, and depending on who you're talking to, who knows you, can have a different flavor of what Peter is.
That's true.
Might not be a consistency in that. When people have a defined G, usually everyone is consistent in saying, this is who this person is. You know, so you can have a lot of different voices, or anyone with an open G, be described in a multitude of ways depending on who the audience is.
And that's what I tell people who have that. They can also be a chameleon and blend in and find their identity. And that's really the strategy of an undefined G-center, is to see what is around you, what's talking to you, and make sure you're choosing positive reinforcement.
You know, Peter, this is the center of direction and love, and it's not about initiating or trying to figure out who and what those things are. And one of the real story that I just remembered this morning was your own, when you were intimating in a class one day about your search for love, and you just told God, I give up. And the next moment, you know, when you surrendered in trying to make it happen, the love of your life sat down beside you. And there it is. You know, you're married this amount of years later. And I found that very astute, because you were trying so hard to find love, and then you gave up and love found you. So that's the kind of story that fits this undefined center.
Right. And so it's really good to know about this center and develop our strategies for it, so we can surrender ourselves, or at least keep on forgiving ourselves for what we don't know about ourselves.
And the other thing that's very important about the open G center, it's extremely important, is place. When an open G person goes to a place, they really have to feel good. And if you're emotionally defined, you need to feel good over time, because it's a process that takes time. But if you're in the wrong place, you're not going to meet the right people in the right situations, in the right direction. So you really have to be comfortable with where you're residing.
Right, and I always tell people like that, and I've had those situations where I'm not happy in a place, and all kinds of things go wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now,
so it's very important to keep in mind of that.
Right. Now, let's look at the ego center, and that's really important. 70% of the population have that blank. It's undefined. And so a lot of people, a lot of listeners here, have undefined egos.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that tell us?
Well, there's no consistency to will, to making commitments. It's also the center of self-esteem. So this is where you have challenges here, but where people think they're not good enough, and they're always trying to prove themselves. And sometimes you're proving yourself by making commitments that you can be that person, and then it doesn't work out, and then you feel bad about yourself and dump on yourself and try to rectify by making more commitments or proving yourself worthy, when in all actuality, you have nothing to prove, and most especially to your own self.
Right, and our willpower is fragile.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who have addictions and have struggle to overcome them because the willpower isn't there. So they also need to reflect the strength of others around them.
Yeah, and you know, this is where they can get the wisdom in that. And you know, one of the areas that you see this at usually is like when you go to high production sales things or like a seminar, and they put you under a lot of pressure to make that commitment to change. And most people don't have the center to have that consistency of willpower that can really make this happen. Yeah. Is, you know, they get pumped up and the will center gets amplified, and when they get home 2-3 days later, then they don't have the will to finish what this, you know, seminar said they could do to make their life better. Then they feel crappy. There goes another seminar where I can't make it happen. And it's because they're not built to make it happen. There's nothing wrong with them. They have nothing to prove. They have nothing to be better at. And, you know, they're good looking enough. They're intelligent enough. You know, they get almost a free pass in this life is what it's really like in to having something to prove.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I have some of the proof.
Right. Those of us, 70% have this undefined. So there's 70% of us who go to these conditioning events. We get pumped up, and then we can't follow through because we just don't hold that conditioning for long.
Not meant to. And, you know, and that's the lesson, though. The silver lining there is then you understand that, you know, what is exactly are you here to give commitment to, you know, and that's through your strategy and authority always is comes down to that when people discover what that is. It really comes down to that. But you're not here to really make promises because this is something that can really it can hurt you in different ways, you know. It can make you feel really frustrated about yourself and how you are in life if you're trying to please people, too.
Right, and we have to remember that we're only being conditioned to make promises, and once that conditioning goes away, because those little erasers in these undefined chakras get going, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just don't have that same commitment that I had.
The energy's not there. It's dissipated. It's gone.
Right.
And that's correct, because that's the way you know that person and yourself are designed to be. So, you know, there's not, and even if you're defined, it's like you make commitments based on what's correct. You don't just make commitments, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there's also a difference there.
Right. I always congratulate people with defined egos, and I say, well, you really look out for yourself a lot better than those of us. Not that we don't want to, we're trying to look out for ourselves, but because we're undefined, our conditioning keeps on shifting.
Well, it's also, you know, one of the things, you look out for yourself. It's like one of the dilemmas of an open ego is that they don't feel themselves worthy enough in the sense of, they don't like charge enough for their services, or that sense of worth is down, so they don't look out for themselves in the best way.
Right, and defined egos they certainly look out for themselves in those ways. And,
yeah, well, hopefully, unless it's, you know, you can have conditioning on a defined center too.
Yeah, so right, but it's more likely that those people know how to take care of themselves.
Yeah,
and
or a better sense of worth.
And it doesn't have to be in a bad way. It's the ego can be really very principled.
Yeah.
So let's come over to the emotional chakra, the solar plexus, and understand what happens when that's undefined, when it's blank. What happens to our emotions?
Well, you know, undefined emotional people have no consistency. Again, you know, there's no, you know, they take in the emotions around them, of others, of what's going on in the environment. And they can actually think it's their own emotions, and it's really not. So it's about being able to discern what's yours and what's not, and not get caught up, which sometimes is impossible, in the process of when you can actually amplify an emotion and take it up another notch and be doubly emotional than the person who's actually defined emotionally. And actually, a lot of people who are unemotional are the ones who usually cry at movies. They're amplifying the energy that they see in the movie, and they're the ones who cry. Like John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, is a great example. He's known as someone who just automatically cries. Well, he's open emotionally, so he's just amplifying these feelings, and it's creating this emotional outcry, and it's not really, it's not really him. It's something else.
Half the population is emotionally undefined, and the other half, like me, we're defined.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that we have it easier, because we're always on a sine wave of hope and pain, hope and pain, hope and pain, hope and pain, and it's always changing. So our moods are always changing, our feelings in ways that we can't really control because this sine wave is always in motion. So we're always living in feelings, whereas people with undefined emotions, actually, if they can get away from the feelings of others, they can actually find peace.
I actually think defined emotional people have a harder time.
Thank you.
Much harder, and it's harder to deal with sometimes, especially when people are not as aware, but that's okay. But, you know, an unemotional person like myself, you know, one of the conundrums that we have is, you know, the question is, are you trying to avoid your truth and confrontation? You know, we often find emotional interactions unpleasant, so we try to avoid them. Now, the funny thing about it is that I've found is the very thing you're trying to avoid really isn't that bad once you confront it.
Yeah, but you don't want to. Right, it's the fear, right.
Yeah, the fear is what's more a problem. So it's just more of a universe test to overcome.
So each side of the coin here is a problem. So all of us are dealing with emotions.
Yes.
All right, let's come over to the spleen chakra where we're running late in the show, and I want to cover that because that's the home of fear for survival. And that's where most of our fears, I mean, we've just talked about a lot of fears, but the spleen chakra actually has to do with survival. Like fears of actually being destroyed.
Yeah. Well, there's fear of, you know, life, fear of death. There's all kinds of fears of the past, of the future. They're all in the spleen. So, you know, when you have it undefined, there's no consistency. So you don't know what to be afraid of. You're afraid of, you know, you don't have a real strong sense of, it's also the center of well-being. So sometimes you don't know how to feel or what to feel in the sense of survival and what needs to be done. And so it could be quite destabilizing for some people.
Right. Undefined spleens always need reinsurance. They need to reflect calm and peace and security around them.
And security.
And even good health.
Yes.
People with undefined, and it's probably about half the population that have undefined spleens, and so there are that many people who worry too much.
Yeah, the thing that happens, though, you know, the problem for undefined spleen and the thing that they seek out is a defined spleen to give them that sense of well-being, and that's whether it's even healthy or not for them, and this is where you actually see a lot of the battered wife syndrome. Where, you know, you have probably an unemotional male with a undefined spleen female and an emotional female, and they're like, she's amping up his emotions, and then he, you know, is coming back and beating her or whatever, but she doesn't have it defined. So the scarier thing for her is not knowing what's out there, instead of knowing, you know, the knowing of the hitting is more certain.
Right. The survival mechanism.
Yeah.
Undefined spleens have trouble changing the trouble in their lives because they're afraid of what they don't know.
What they don't know. And what they don't know is more scary than being beaten.
Right. Exactly. So the spleen chakra is, being an open spleen chakra can make you very wise. But it can also, it's very extremely troubling because your fear runs you, but it can help you really manage. Whereas people with defined spleens, I always say, aren't always afraid enough. They don't take care of business.
That's probably true.
Right, right.
So they have to really listen to whatever their spleen is telling them, and it's a very small voice. And the other quick thing is, you know, the open spleen people tend to hold on to things that are no longer good for them.
Right, exactly. And we just talked about why, because of survival.
That's important. And the hoarders could be open spleen people.
Right. Well, we only have about a minute and a half left. So, Mark Germain, we have two more chakras to talk about. And that could even be another show because one of them has to do with initiating. That's the first chakra. But the second chakra has a lot to do with sexuality. We could talk for a whole show on the sexuality of human design. So, Mark Germain, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. Terrific talking with you. Where can people find you?
Thanks, Peter, and I'm glad to be here. People can find me on my website, which actually I'm building right now, so write it down. You can come back to it later. It's markgermaincoaching.com. That's MarkGermainCoaching.com, all one word, no spaces, periods. And my phone number is 516-472-0361.
Mark, thank you so much. Great talking with you. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. There's lots of classes coming up in New York, even teleclasses soon, and very exciting. Love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening.